Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to episode 106 of A Wild Podcast Has Appeared, the official Pokemon podcast of comicbook.com. I am one of your hosts, Jim Biscardi, and I coughed literally seconds before I was supposed to start this and I got really, really concerned that I was going to make it into the recording and everyone was going to hear it and be like, oh my God, what the hell was that? Well, anyway.
Wow.
I'm here with Megan Peters and Christian Hoffer.
Hello.
I have nothing to add to that. Absolutely nothing. Like, good for you.
Sometimes that's best. It was just one of those like weird panicky moments where it was just like literally I'm watching the seconds tick down. It gets to 2 seconds and I'm like, oh crap, I have to cough. Sorry. Anyway.
Hey, it's okay. You did an excellent job explaining what might have happened. And I love that H.G. Walker 16 is calling you coughing now. So that's your new nickname.
Thank you, Megan. This is a weekly show where we talk all about Pokemon. And this week we have a number of fun things to talk about.
Yeah.
Including Target has said, nope, no more. We're not letting you harass our customers or our employees or whatever. Pokemon cards, sports cards, they're out.
Yep, that's right. I guess we're just jumping into this. So Target has announced that they are no longer selling Pokemon cards along with a number of sports trading cards, but not Magic the Gathering or Yu-Gi-Oh cards.
Because those fans are sane, apparently.
but they have stopped selling those at physical locations as of last Friday. Apparently things have been getting rather intense in the, you know, good old Targets as of late. They had started doing distributions on Friday mornings where, like, you know, people would show up for hours beforehand to go and buy their one pack of Pokemon or baseball cards. But there was an incident, I believe it was Wisconsin, either Wisconsin or Minnesota, where there was a physical confrontation between scalpers. It ended with a gun getting pulled. 4 people were arrested. And Target was like, no, thank you. We do not want to play these games anymore. So thank you. Thank you, scalpers, for ruining it for the rest of us. The crazy thing is, I mean, beyond the fact that, you know, apparently people are getting guns pulled on them for buying Pokemon cards, is this is not only happening in the U.S. Not only has Target pulled Pokemon cards from their shelves, you know, the Pokemon Center stores in Japan are pulling some of their Pokemon card merchandise as well due to the same sort of stuff.
They just did that thing the other day. I think we talked about it a couple weeks ago where like there was a giant line for Pokemon cards and they let the people at the end of the line get them first.
Yeah. So like,
total baller badass move right there.
So now what's coming out is, so, you know, they started doing this thing where they were releasing like special box sets that were like exclusive to like, you know, Pokemon centers in Japan. So kind of similar to, you know, you see stuff like that here in the United States on a much smaller scale. Like sometimes Target or Walmart will get some sort of like, you know, box exclusive or something like that. I guess it was 2 weeks ago. They posted some stuff tied to the Eevee Heroes set, and the Pokemon Center website crashed. And the speculation was it was because scalpers had basically sent bots in to try to buy up as much stock as they could and just overloaded the site. So in response to this, and along with the fact that, you know, Japan has, You know, still dealing with some COVID issues, as is the rest of the world. And also their vaccine, you know, their vaccine rollout is a lot slower than ours. Mm-hmm. They announced that these like special box sets and stuff, you could only get them through a lottery.
Yeah.
What do you make of the impact that this may have on the trading card as a line of business?
This will only impact, like, you know, let's be real here. In the short term, not that much of an impact. There's not too many kids that are just going and doing impulse purchases of Pokemon cards at Target because there's still like heavy restrictions on, like, you know, because we're still in a pandemic. You can't. Well, yeah. One, you can't find them. Two, you know, you know, there's not a lot of impulse shopping going on right now. So in the short term, this really won't have that much of an impact. In the long term, like if Target decides to like do away with their trading card aisle, which, you know, this has been the primary way that a lot of kids have gotten their Pokemon cards. I mean, that's the thing. It's like, you know.
And they just put out the Battle Academy, right? And so, which is supposed to be, you know, a huge push for them to get younger, new players into the game. And so now you're going to have anyone, you know, basically buying that stuff, being like, okay, where do I go next? And like, they're just going to have to, I guess, go online.
Yeah, cross their fingers and hope they'll be able to get it online through the Pokemon, you know, website in the U.S. It's really tricky.
Yeah, so I was actually talking with some of my neighbors about this because they try to go and find Pokemon cards. You know, we've had a string of birthdays in the neighborhood, and one of my neighbors wanted to go and buy Pokemon cards for one of the neighborhood kids, and I was like, yeah, that's not happening. I mean, that is the real problem, you know, is that, you know, these production shortages really need to be handled. We've been and listen, I'm not blaming the Pokemon company for these shortages. It's hard to get stuff printed right now. Like, you know, there are manga shortages going on right now because we can't reprint manga, you know, beyond the initial order runs. It's impossible to get reprints because everything is just, you know, overloaded right now. And so, you know, printing presses everywhere, especially printing presses that can handle high quality Pokemon cards, you know, that sort of production, it's struggling. It's really struggling.
It's just so interesting because, you know, from time to time, Pokemon Company will send us some cards to do unboxings for, like we did with Battle Styles and whatever. And like, I technically can't open this until June 4th to like show it off, but like we have Chilling Rain to do in a couple of weeks, but like that's the earliest we've ever gotten something. And so it'll be interesting to see if this is,
did you get that box from your comic store, or was that?
No, that one came from Pokemon.
Nice. And
so, yeah. And so some of the stuff that they are planning on, it is getting out there. It's just a matter of, literally either getting it to places or whatnot. So I think it looks like Chilling Rain is going to be the first one that, you know, is really affected by a lot of the bigger stores, because Walmart's not selling them either. Mm-hmm. So Walmart and Target are doing. Well, you can still get them from your local card shops and things like that. But even then, the big question will come around allocation, right?
So and Target and Walmart are still selling the cards, just not in stores. You can still buy them.
You can still buy them online. Right.
Right. Which
still just almost as bad because
impossible, which is right. It's still nearly impossible.
Trying to buy a PlayStation or an Xbox, right? Like you have the bots that are swarming the sites. But I wonder if this will change allocation. So that way maybe the local card shops don't get shorted as much since there's not as much physical stuff going around, or if like anything that would have planned to go to a physical Target store is just going to go to the Target warehouse and they're just going to sell it. And
it's just going to go to the warehouse. I'm positive about that. I mean, my local card store, I mean, they have basically stopped selling it because their vendor was just getting harassed constantly when they would come drop off, you know, whatever they were saying to the store. I mean, they were just being harassed constantly when they would go from store to store. And in light of all this news about Target and Walmart, I mean, I've been reading threads of people on Twitter and Reddit saying, you know, their vendors were being, you know, stalked and, you know, tracked going to Target, going to Walmart, you know, being harassed about, you know, what kind of stock that they had. So, you know, scalpers, you know, not people who are actually invested in trying to play this game, you know, people who are just trying to turn a profit for business, you know, we're just harassing the, you know, ever loving heck out of them.
Well, that's the crazy thing.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, that's the crazy thing too, right? Like the Pokemon company is in a bit of a predicament where like it could just print massive amounts more. But if that happens, then like you don't know how many people are actually buying it to play the game for the hobby versus the scalpers. The scalpers will, collectors as investors or whatever, the speculators more than scalpers, you know, will revolt on it a bit because like it's been massively overprinted, so they're not going to pick it up or whatnot. And so like, how much is too much for the Pokemon company to print versus how little? And that's kind of the predicament that they're in.
It's not that much of a predicament. Reprints happen all the time.
Like
prior to COVID, you know, sets were getting reprinted all the time. The issue is that they are, you know, the reprints are limited right now because of, you know, the supply line issues. You know, that's the issue here. You know, like, you know, reprints happen. They know that business pretty well. Like, let's not pretend like this is like some sort of like new experience for them. You know, they reprint shit that's, you know, 4 or 5 years old. You know, they do. That's because there is, you know, the demand is there. They will sell these cards. You know, I mean, XY Evolutions was on the shelf, you know, for freaking years, you know, and, you know, no one wanted those cards. But the nice thing about Pokemon cards is, you know, the people, you know, there is always going to be a subset of people buying Pokemon cards who, you know, they don't know anything. And so, you know, when it's time for a birthday party and you find out
that someone wants Pokemon. It's the impulse buy. That's why they're at the checkout counters.
Yeah. And so, you know, like, so that's not the problem. The problem is getting this stuff out to stores. That's the problem. It's like they cannot. And they've been talking about it for months and they've been promising retailers that this stuff will get there. Like, find Shining Fates anywhere. Yeah.
Oh, it's that came and went. It's impossible.
You know, but like in 2 years or something, if you know they come back, start doing reprints. I mean, it's just gonna. The supply and demand issue is just all wonky, as many things are because of COVID, the reprinting situation, and just the amount of focus that's been, you know, put onto the Pokemon trading card collectible scene in the past, you know, 6 to 8 months because of, you know, influencers, online entertainers, et cetera, et cetera. It's become the perfect storm in the most unexpected way that has just, you know, made this situation almost impossible to kind of deal with. I mean, it's just, when talking to my local comic shop people, I feel so bad for them because they're, you know, they would be so used to kids coming in to get Pokemon cards, you know, before COVID. And, you know, COVID obviously made it difficult, but those kids were still trying to come in and get cards with their parents when they could, when it was safe. And now they're like, I don't see them anymore because they know there's not going to be cards for them. They know there's nothing here for them to get anymore. And any cards that we do have are way beyond a price that their parents or that the kids have saved up to pay. And so that just sucks a lot. Yeah.
The last thing I'll say on this before we move on to some Pokemon Go stuff is it'll be interesting to see now that restrictions are being, you know, are being lifted and, you know, things are slowly starting to get a bit more, you know, back to some semblance of normal, how that, you know, kind of affects stuff. I wonder if, either people who have been buying online, who are trying to look to either, you know, flip at a local game store or try and get stuff at local game stores, like what that traffic inevitably is going to look like and all that. So it'll be interesting to see. But enough on that.
I'm sure this will be a conversation that we will have many more times over the next few months.
This conversation will be had a lot more, so we'll have updates.
Did you all get your shiny Altarias?
I did not, because my son's first birthday party was on Saturday, so I did that instead. Because
I already have six. I'm Christian.
So, you know, the neighbor kids were hanging out at our place, and one of them asked to see my Pokemon Go account. And so I was like, yeah, sure, whatever. And they're like, you have like 126 shiny Pokemon? I'm like, that's not that much. Or no, it was I have 94 shinies in my Pokemon Home account. That's what they were all like losing their minds about. And they're like, how'd you even get the shinies? Like distributions, giveaways, stuff like that. But they're all blown. And in the back of my head is like, oh man, this would be a very different conversation if this was Jim's
Pokemon. Wow, Night Fighters, did you really get 99 shiny Swablu? That's a lot of shiny.
That's a lot of dedication.
I just remember because like I started and I think I had candy. I had about like 30 or so Swablu candy. And I'm like, oh, okay, all right, here we go. I'm gonna sit here for like the next hour or whatever. So I popped an incense and I popped a lucky egg. And I'm like, all right, here we go. Let's just start throwing and like I had a lot of Pokeballs in reserve before this event, and now I've got to like go back to being real cheap and stingy on how I throw them. But I did get I got three shinies. I ended up going for the ticket. It was only 99 cents.
Yeah.
And, which, you know, and so in that, like, I mean, basically you were guaranteed basically half the amount of candy. Did not realize you would have gotten an Altaria at the end, which was awesome. Cause I almost like spent a bunch of that candy, to evolve a regular Swablu. So instead I was able to evolve one of my shinies. I didn't get great ones, which is unfortunate. I was really hoping, you know, I got a number of 3-star ones, but nothing like.
No, perfect.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Not even like close to perfect. Like it was either like strong in two areas and like really not in another. And I was like, I would even take like mostly strong in all three areas as opposed to the other ones. But anyway, I thought it was like the 99 cents for an Altaria that I would have probably taken me forever outside of an event like this to get one. I'm okay with that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, it's like I said, I think I already had a shiny Swablu, so like that was part of the reason why I was like, yep. It is what it is. But, you know, I'm very excited for next month's. And, the community days are really what they should just. I think May in general, and we'll talk about this, I guess we can talk about they've officially announced the more details about the Luminous Legends Y, which, you know, will add Yveltal and Sylveon to the game. I really like how they went from these like weekly events where they're just like throwing stuff and it just didn't feel consequential at all to like, you know, more of these like focused events. Like I think that they hopefully have gotten like a good pace. Like I really like there being like two events per month that kind of like are your themes for the month. Yeah. And then do stuff like the special research weekends or, community day, friendship day, you know, do those on the weekends. Instead of trying to throw in all this stuff, because you know, I think they were the fan base was getting burned out fast. The Luminous Legends Y event, Sylveon will be making its Pokemon Go debut. It actually will not be added until May 25th, so you won't be able to the Luminous Legends Y event technically starts tomorrow, but you won't be able to get it until the 25th. Like Luminous Legends X, there's going to be kind of a global challenge. This one is going to be defeating Team Go Rocket Grunts, and if we can beat 25 million Team Go Rocket Grunts, we get triple catch XP, shiny Galarian Zigzagoon, those are the big ones. So, you know, I'm looking forward to getting Yvettle. And Pancham will be hatching from Strange Eggs. So that's how you get that.
Is there a name hack for Sylveon?
Yes, there is. Give me one second.
Well, that's good.
Give me one second. I just got to find it because it has been like a month since we found it. Kira. If you name your Eevee Kira, it will automatically evolve into a Sylveon. Right. That only works once. So there you go.
Oh, is it same for the other ones?
Yeah.
No, yeah. I didn't really. I've only done it once, so I had no idea.
Yeah, so, well. Yep.
Nice. All right. Well, cool. So like I said, I thought about I almost jumped on to stream for this past weekend, but it was almost too nice. So maybe we'll do it for the next one. Just because
Gebel is a lot more exciting. Let's be realistic here.
All right, cool. All right, let's take a quick 60-second break, pay for the show a little bit, and then when we get back, we'll talk more fun Pokemon stuff. See you in 60.
If you're in the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale marketplace where each piece is carefully vetted and verified by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. If you're in the market, use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Hermes, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Welcome back. Okay. This next topic, I'm sure, will be an exciting one. So, like we have talked from time to time, the Pokemon Company, will elevate a Pokemon in its roster to be to basically like spokesman level to be spokesman level for them, right? Mm-hmm. And so it looks like the next one they have picked is Piplup.
I sense by your the tone of your voice, Jim, you do not approve of Piplup.
Clearly I don't, because I forgot about Piplup last week, about it being one of the Build-A-Bears that they put out. And I was just like, meh. And so then I saw this news and I was like, Piplup?
Hey, Piplup is amazing. Piplup is adorable. I have Build-A-Bear Piplup. Piplup is a defining creature in the Pokemon franchise, and I will hear no slander against him. However, I will say, I'm interested to see in what context they will try to kind of push him forward as kind of a face forwarding mascot, I guess would be the term.
So this conversation is predicated on the fact that a few months ago in Japan, they officially announced a Project Piplup, which is very similar. If you were paying attention to the Pokemon franchise back in 2018, they did a Project Eevee, which still is running today. Mm-hmm. Which the goal of that, the Project Eevee thing, it's a Japanese marketing campaign that was designed to build up Eevee prior to the release of Pokemon Let's Go, because they were making Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu, where everyone knows Pikachu, and Pokemon Let's Go Eevee, their thought process being, well, we need to kind of make Eevee a lot more popular. So they've done one for Piplup, With the reasoning being, we are doing, you know, we have two games coming out. They're both set in the Sinnoh region. We have Shining Diamond, or whatever, Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl. I'm never going to get used to those names. Then we've got Pokemon Legends Arceus. So the idea is we're going to take a Pokemon and kind of like give it some additional exposure. Like I said, Piplup is kind of like, I think that's the natural choice for the Sinnoh region. It's definitely probably the most recognizable of the cutesy Pokemon. You know, like, I think that there's a couple Pokemon that might be a little bit more popular in the grand scheme of things, Lucario being the big one, but it was, quite frankly, it was either going to be this or Riolu. So
But in all honesty, I figured they would go with Riolu.
It's not a starter Pokemon. It's not a starter Pokemon. It's kind of hard to get in the games. So I think that's the main reason.
He's already a star, though.
Piplup's also already. Yeah, I think. Let me pull up some popularity polls here.
Yeah, I know that Piplup traditionally does rank high in Japanese popularity polls. I mean, also Piplup ranks high here in the U.S. popularity polls. It might not be Greninja, but you know, not everything can be Greninja. I'm okay with it. I mean, Pokemon has definitely put forward some strange Pokemon in the past. I mean, I can't necessarily say that Piplup is a bad one in light of ones that I have seen elevated before. I will say that in the chat, Only Mac makes good points, is that Riolu could have made a good tie because the anime, Riolu and Lucario become a major kind of part of that. I think though, kind of right now, it's just such like a Japanese-centric kind of point of conversation right now, because not all of that has been brought into the U.S. Pokemon fandom, given, you know, the disparities with, you know, the anime being distributed. But I would love to see Riolu take part of it. Don't get me wrong. Love that little boy. He is so tiny and fierce. But for now, Piplup's okay. I will definitely take Piplup.
Christian actually brings up a good point. Having like just still looking at all of the Sinnoh Pokemon on a giant thing, there aren't that many cutesy Pokemon outside of like some of the babies, but that like they don't, but we've already established here that they don't count.
They really are technically a baby Pokemon, just so,
well, you know, I mean, sure, but
like I'm assuming that you didn't actually realize that, but
no, I did realize that, but I just, but like Riolu is the baby Pokemon of a Pokemon that started in the Sinnoh region. I mean, more like your Mime Baby and whatever, but
yeah, I actually, we've done like multiple rankings, and all the ranking websites like are not working right now. So who knows? I think
I agree. Shinx is a good possibility. I think the thing with Shinx though is, right, like he hasn't necessarily gotten much play, you know, outside of the game, and so you've got all that to consider, right?
Well, and of course, there's also the fact that, you know, Shinx, you know, could possibly be stepping on Pikachu's territory, and, you know,
that's true.
That's just electric. Not allowed.
Not allowed.
No electric Pokemon are allowed to be popular unless their name is Pikachu.
Exactly.
You know, so much so that they had to create Pichu to just like kind of slide in, is be like, look, he is Pikachu adjacent.
I think the whole thing is fine. Like, you know, I'm curious to see like how much merchandise will come out of it. You know, like this is not like a case like Pokemon Let's Go. Like the thing that really caught me off guard about this is with Pikachu or with Let's Go with Project Eevee, you know, it made a lot of sense because we had Let's Go Eevee coming out like that year.
Right.
But
Eevee was already pretty popular.
Well, yeah, but you know,
Eevee was already very
popular. Guys, let's not pretend like Piplup is not a popular Pokemon. Like, you know, it's a decently popular Pokemon. It's probably not quite as popular as Eevee because Eevee's a Gen 1, you know, Pokemon. But Piplup's up there. Piplup is, it's one of the most recognizable Gen 4 Pokemon. It was featured in the anime more than just about any other Gen 4 Pokemon. Like, you know,
chat, am I being too harsh on Piplup, or am I totally missing it? Let's see what chat says. But also, yeah, too,
chat knows you're being too harsh.
I need to know. I need to know who else, like who from the Sinnoh region chat would nominate for this role. So let's get both of those in there. One, am I being too hard? Two, who else are you nominating? And we'll go from there. If for the three of us, if you had the opportunity to nominate somebody else, who would you nominate?
That's a good question.
Well, mine would have been Riolu. So, my pick's in and out.
You take the easy one.
What, how is that an easy one? That's the one that makes
Okay, you're literally taking the Pokemon that they used to debut Gen 4 as your choice. Like, I'm going to go and choose like the Pokemon that got like two freaking movies about it.
That's what I mean. There's no one else.
There's really not. So Gen 4 is a weird generation because like the shtick of that generation was we're going to take existing Pokemon and give them an extra evolution,
right?
That was the shtick for the generation, and we're going to make more babies. I probably would do Gible.
I mean, I think we're all overlooking the best choice here, which it would be Bidoof.
You're
the proverbial lord and savior of Pokemon Sinnoh region.
You're actually 100% right there, Megan. I changed my vote. I'm going with Bidoof.
every time I see Bidoof in Pokemon Snap, I'm always like, there he is. What an awe-inspiring creature right there. So I gotta say Bidoof.
I really hope that based on Bidoof's like breakout role in Pokemon Snap, like we get like a Bidoof Heroes. Like Pokemon,
I mean, they picked. Didn't the Pokemon Company pick Bidoof as their April Fool's gimmick thing?
He doesn't deserve to be treated as a joke. He needs to be treated seriously. I want Bidoof. Justice for Bidoof. That's what I want.
All right. I love it. Okay. Well, perfect. It looks like we got Dynamo Slowbird nominating Banary.
Banary's a solid. That's
Acme White. Acme White recommending Shaman.
Lots of Bidoofs in the chat. Obviously, people.
Caller's throwing Turtwig out there. I think of the starters.
I mean, Turtwig's my favorite of the three starters, but you know, this little baby snapping turtle just doesn't have like the same cuteness factor as baby penguins do. I mean, I recognize
Turtwig.
That.
Turtwig and its line were all in Detective Pikachu. Piplup was not.
No, okay. That's by that thing, you know who else wasn't in Detective Pikachu? Riolu and Lucario. So yeah, get that trash out of here.
All true. These are all true.
No, they couldn't because they're all hanging out with Ash and we were just waiting for Ash to show up in that movie. That's why. That was never going to happen.
Thank you. I'm glad you're finally like admitting that. After we wrote like 100 speculation articles on it.
So. All right, let's get to the other big Pokemon news of the week. Katy Perry finally released her new Pokemon themed song, Electric. And the only real thing that was kind of Pokemon related was. Well,
the music
had some Pokemon in the music video, I guess.
Yeah. Well,
we all knew that this was not going to be a Pokemon song. Katy Perry is not going to waste her time. She's going to put this on her new album. She doesn't want a Pokemon song on her new album. She was just going to have something that kind of already fit into it that, would vibe with, a music video, which the music video super cute. Pikachu, love it. It was super cute to kind of see that. Honestly, did not think I would end up saying this, but Post Malone's Pokemon shtick was better than this Katy Perry.
Well, yeah. I mean, who wouldn't want to watch Post Malone talking about how he stayed in a relationship solely for the physical aspects about it as a Gyarados, like, splashes water above him? Like, you know, it was a majestic moment. Post Malone just saying, like, yeah, I'm only thinking about one thing, lady, and it is not least, your personality. And there's Post a Gyarados Malone vibing in the background. Like, yeah, that was just a beautiful moment.
But Post Malone had some nice samples there. And I would have just, I would have liked a little sample, and then I would have been okay. It's a good song.
No, it's not. Just, it is, I mean, the most, the most generic freaking song I've ever heard. Like, the lyrics were just like, listen, don't, yeah, like, I can't even, I like the it was just like, yeah, no, it was a super generic anthem. Like, it was a boring song. I can't remember a single thing other than like something about like you can be electric, where it's like, yes, thank you, I can be electric. What does that even freaking mean?
Here's like the really Pokemon missed out on an opportunity, because I think I speak for everyone involved with anything involving Pokemon to say that Fall Out Boy should have been the band that did this Pokemon cover. They would have done so Just think for a second, a Fall Out Boy Pokemon single, a Fall Out Boy. I mean, if Fall Out Boy isn't on this album, maybe it's just me and my like internal pop.
I'm a huge Fall Out
Boy. How'd you pick out Fall Out Boy?
Fall Out Boy. Thank it you, makes, Megan.
Like, no. I'm just curious. Like, of all the bands in the world, why are we going with Fall Out Boy? This is nothing against Fall Out Boy. I too like
Fall Out Boy. Well, I mean, one, me and my like tween years spent loving Fall Out Boy. They are nerds. They do love Pokemon.
Okay.
And they've done pop culture theme ass videos before. They've done like NSYNC throwback videos with Demi Lovato. Like, they do have a knack for it. And Fall Out Boy is very sample friendly. So I have no doubt that they would find clever ways to fit in Pokemon to their song.
They did that great song for Big Hero 6, which was
I have no qualms about Fall Out Boy. It just seemed like a very out of left field. We went from like, yeah, here's Katy Perry's like super generic. And I say this, I am not a Katy Perry hater. Like, I think that, you know, Katy Perry's, you know, for what she does, like top 40 radio, she's good. I like Katy Perry. She's weird. She's goofy. Like, you know, I think that, you know, like her last album sucked. And I think that this kind of continued that stretch. That's the problem. And also, you know, like the thing was, there was just no creativity like involved. Like, the video itself was cute. It was, you know, like, and I encourage anyone to go and like find the description of the video that was actually written by marketing people, where it's like, you know, like Katy Perry and Pikachu are, you know, reminiscing about their journey. Suddenly they fall into a reverie and, you know, travel back through time to the early days of Katy Perry's career. I'm like, it's like, go on. Like, you know, this is like the freaking start of a prompt for like a D&D adventure here, like falling into reveries, like, you know, getting encouragement. And it was like, oh my God, that was like the best part of this entire music thing was the marketing person clearly had a good day while writing this. You know, got some of their creative writing juices out. Like, everything else about it was just, it wasn't very good. Even the merchandise that they released was the most generic freaking merchandise. That's the problem. Like if you're going to be paying Katy Perry, I don't know, a lot of money, I'm assuming that a lot of money was exchanged here. Like, get something, do something better with it. That's my issue. Like, That's I'm just disappointed. That's why I'm disappointed. It's just like, this is not.
Yeah.
You know, go ahead, Megan. Sorry.
I was going to say, it was definitely kind of a fizzle for me. Like, I thought that the music video was cute. It was fun watching. There's really no kind of like reason to revisit it at that point. Honestly, when I see GIFs of it, Pikachu is the best part of it. That's kind of it. I'm interested to see what the rest of the album has, if there's anything that's better. Like, get Bare Naked Ladies to do a Pokemon song. That thing would be amazing.
Well,
like,
Well, that's what I was gonna say. Okay, let's say, you know, Katy Perry's done. You know, Megan brings up Fallout Boy. Who else do we want doing?
We do not want the current iteration of Bare Naked Ladies doing covers. Bare Naked Ladies has gone downhill since they parted away with their original frontman.
Yes. Yes, I do agree. I want him back. That's the caveat.
That's not going to happen because he has some personal issues.
I'm aware. I need just his the lyrics. I want old school Bare Naked Ladies aesthetic, but with Pokemon.
We need everyone's favorite meme band, Eve 6, to do a Pokemon song. that's really what we need.
Also, I'm weirdly thinking.
I bet you if we tweet at them right now, they'll probably even respond. Hey, at Eve 6, thought about doing a song on Pokemon, maybe?
Oh man!
No, Rankin 2700 in the chat says Smash Mouth, but I challenge that suggestion with Childish Gambino. I would like to see that. That would be Childish Gambino.
Lover,
yeah.
JD Smith is yours. Learn today not to come to Wild Podcast for music tastes. These are not our music tastes. These are not
the things that I listen to all the time.
But you know who would do one on the Fallout Boy line of thinking? Panic at the Disco would probably do a very good Pokemon song.
Except it's only just Brendan Urie at this point.
I was about to say, you're not really making a good defense here of your taste in music.
I would like to also posit Jaden Smith as a potential.
Oh, Jesus Christ. You are putting some ideas out into the freaking universe.
We're getting some suggestions for Bon Jovi. Look, Bon Jovi would put together a great Pokemon song.
It would be really inspirational. You want a geriatric man to go and sing about Pokemon? Because that's how
he could write a song from Professor Oak's perspective.
Oh my god, this is so bad.
Producer Richard Migos.
That's actually good.
You know what? I'll give that.
See, you know, Richard has good musical taste. Like, I'm the first to admit it. My taste in music is crap. Like, that's not my shtick. You know,
what's the saying? Like, the music you listen to at the age of 14 is the music that you listen to for the whole rest of your life.
And I didn't listen to music when I was 14. So, like I said, my taste in music it's bad. The one band I liked, you know, has, you know, broke up earlier this year. So, you know,
I mean, my whole thing was pop rock, pop punk, metal, all that stuff. So, you know, Fall Out Boy's not too far from that. But I will say, if they really want to go viral, if they really want to sell a lot of singles for this, they need to have BTS do Pokemon. Which I say this as a big BTS fan, and also the members of BTS are Pokemon fans.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that if they want to go viral.
Hold on. Breaking news. I got a reply from Eve 6.
They said,
yes.
All right, so. There I go. All right, well, Jim's gonna coordinate that, I guess.
Well, you're welcome, the Pokemon Company. You know, we're gonna be listening to, you know, I don't know, about how Pikachu's tied to the bedposts and stuff like that.
Yes, Rankin 2700 Sugar would kill it. Also, Rat Monster with an Emolga would be adorable. That's his new moniker. So
On a much more serious note, like, BTS must have been way out of their price range, because that one just makes so much sense. Like, I was introduced to BTS based on the fact that they all run around with Pokemon, you know, Pokemon plushes.
Had this happened a couple years ago, I bet One Direction would have done it.
I mean,
this feels like a song right up One Direction's alley.
I'm going to say that's a hard pass. I do not think One Direction would have. I mean, they would have done it.
What? You don't think so? They absolutely.
No. Jim, I spent enough time of my high school years loving One Direction to know that they were not that invested in Pokemon. Now, they would have done it for the money, because who wouldn't do it for the sweet, sweet Pokemon money? But I don't know. At this point, like little
when Mix. When does Justin Bieber get in on this? He's got to.
Stop it, Jim.
You
stop
know it's going to happen.
These ideas into the ether.
I don't want that. I don't want a sexy Pokemon single. I don't need that in my life. Nope. Like, I love J.D. Smith, the digital artist, saying, Hoffer, how do you look so much like a Megadeth fan and not listen to them? I would also like to know that.
Like my tastes in music are bad and eclectic. Let's just leave it at that.
My first concert was the band As I Lay Dying. So let you guys, let chat take that. For
nice.
So I was like in fifth grade. Let you just absorb that into yourself.
Love it. All right, Christian, give us the Pokemon fact of the week.
So this one is we have officially entered the Johto era of the PokeFact of the week. You know, Chikorita and you know, that line of Pokemon have been, you know, had a very difficult life when it comes to Pokemon fans, because, you know, Chikorita just gets a lot of flack up until new Pokemon Snap took some time to go and rehabilitate Meganium. But one of the kind of goofy things about the Chikorita and that line, they're all known for their sweet smells. Chikorita and Meganium both give off scents that, you know, calm their opponents, kind of soothe and, you know, make people more pleasant. Bayleaf, on the other hand, makes people want to fight. Like, apparently Bayleaf gives off a smell that says, let's throw down.
That's like it draws an odd parallel to Oddish's line, right? Where like Oddish, super cute, you know, happy-go-lucky, Vileplume, you know, gorgeous. I mean, it's a carnivorous flower, but still, you know, like a bit more happy. And then you have Gloom, which is, you know, it's in the name. Yeah. And so Bayleaf and Gloom are hanging out together.
Although Bayleaf is a much cuter Pokemon than Gloom.
Bayleaf is a much cuter
Pokemon I've always had a soft spot for Chikorita and that line of Pokemon. They're absolutely fundamentally useless.
I know you were very excited to see Meganium on the cover of Snap.
I mean they are very well designed Pokemon. Like, you know, I think all the Johto starters are actually. I just wish that, you know, their usefulness matched their really cool designs, because all three of them, you know, are kind of like mediocre.
I don't feel like the Johto starters do not get nearly enough credit for being cool looking starters.
I think
lines in general, like the Johto just like, I feel like just gets forgotten about way too much.
The reason why is because those Johto starters integrated themselves so well. Well, the Johto line, because I think pound for pound, the Johto Pokemon are some of the best Pokemon you'll see.
Yeah,
but they integrated themselves so well with the Gen 1 stuff, because it was still the original design team. That was still like, you know, they retained everybody. It's the exact same aesthetic as the Kanto Pokemon. And so you remember the original 151 Pokemon. The Johto Pokemon kind of, you know, like they have the very same design aesthetic. They have the same feel to it. You know, as much as basically Gold and Silver are a continuation of the original Pokemon games. And then when you get to Ruby and Sapphire, you know, that's when you start to see some deviations. Like, you know, because, you know, the Hoenn Pokemon are recognizable because you know, the Hoenn Pokemon are recognizable because they look visually distinctive. Like, all those Pokemon look very different than the original Pokemon. And I think that was a deliberate choice.
Typhlosion is one of my favorite, like, just one of my favorite Pokemon.
Yeah, Typhlosion is one of my favorite. I mean, I have a giant Typhlosion plush. That was like the one thing the first time I went to Japan. I was also like, I gotta find one. And he was surprisingly prevalent at the Pokemon Center. Typhlosion is definitely one of my favorite, you know, third tier evolutions.
Yeah, you know what's so fun story here. So, you know, my youngest just turned 1 year old, and so I'm in the process of buying him his first Pokemon plushes. And so with my oldest, you know, we went and bought him the starter Pokemon, Bulbasaur, Charmander, and Squirtle. We did the thing where you set them out, put them in front of him, and he picks one. So we're going to do the same thing with our second, and you know, we're doing Gen 2 Pokemon.
Nice.
I was able to get Chikorita and Totodile pretty easily. It is not easy to get a Cyndaquil. I had to order one from Japan.
Did you get those like sitting cutie things, or did you
those are sold out. So I got I always get the full like the full 8-inchers, like the actual like Pokemon Center, like the official.
I love those sitting cuties. They're freaking great.
Yeah, no, they're great. I would probably buy more of them if not for the fact that, one, they're impossible to get, and two, you know, they're just...
Yeah, I didn't realize that. I haven't tried to buy one in a while.
Yeah, they're releasing, I think they're releasing the... No, I'm thinking of something else. I don't think they've released the Gen 3 sitting cuties yet. They should be soon, though. Anyways. All right.
Well, there we go.
We have done another episode of this podcast.
I think it's that here. Just, I hope I think all, that all just about does it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you enjoyed this week's episode, there were a lot of highlights in this episode, I will say. Our music discussion, our mascot discussion, another rundown of the Pokemon card debacle.
We gotta go and see Jim. Go and tweet at Eve 6.
Yep. Eve 6 is in, confirmed, doing a, they want to do a Pokemon song, confirmed. This is good stuff that you can get on a weekly basis. All you have to do is make sure you hit that subscribe button. Anywhere podcasts can be found, you know, iTunes, Spotify. If you watch the show on YouTube, hit, you know, subscribe to the YouTube channel. If you want to support the show, you know, follow us on Twitter at PokemonPodCB. Retweet the stuff that we're tweeting from there. You can leave us a review on iTunes. Those go a really, really long way in helping us as far as our discoverability goes. And when people go looking for Pokemon podcasts, tell your friends, tell your parents. Tell your friends' parents, you know, that, hey, there's this show. It's called The Wild Podcast Has Appeared. It's a lot of fun. It's got Megan, Jim, and Christian on it. They're great. And if you want to get in touch with us online, you can find me on all the social platforms at Jim Biscardi.
You can find me on Twitter at Megan Peters CB.
And I am at Seehofer CBus.
Until next time, folks, we'll see what the world of Pokemon brings us. But may the shiny luck be ever in your favor. We'll catch you next week.